ANP, a podcast where we are building a community of sharing ideas and best practices in anatomy and physiology for the success of students and instructors everywhere. I'm Valerie Kramer, the marketing manager for ANP here at McGraw-Hill. And today we're wrapping up our three-part series highlighting the new rotatable 3D models that are inside APR. So if you've missed the last two episodes, I strongly suggest that you go back and take a listen. There's pretty cool stuff in how these 3D models were built, how they came about. And then Dr. Michael Coate, our resident expert, shares how they can be integrated into your very own ANP course just this last episode. And he has joined us today as well. So this last installment might be our best yet because we are welcoming Dr. David Ansardi, an instructor at Calhoun Community College in Alabama, near and dear to my heart because I lived in Alabama for 12 years. So welcome, David. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your course.
Thank you, Valerie. Glad to be here. So I've been teaching at Calhoun since 2007, and I teach ANP and also microbiology and sometimes biotech when we have students for that. And we're actually kind of fortunate. We had been teaching fully online anatomy and physiology well before the pandemic, going all the way back to 2013. So we had a lot of things in place already. One of the pitfalls of teaching online ANP was it was very difficult to try to reproduce the lab component. And for all those years that I was teaching ANP online, I was really trying to get my students to use some of the free online 3D models that are kind of so-so, not as good as yours, and not sure how successful I was at that. So I was really excited when you guys started putting, first of all, when we adopted your products, and then second, when you guys started ramping up the 3D model and APR. I think that really made it invaluable for teaching ANP online.
David, last week, Valerie and I on the podcast really discussed many possible ways that instructors could use the 3D models in their course. Mm-hmm. I'd like to ask you to talk about how you specifically use them. You know, how do you incorporate them into your course? How do you implement them? What do you tell your students, you know, before they're about to use them? All sorts of questions like that.
Well, I'm still in the process of phasing them in, especially some of the newer ones that have just come on board. But so what I'm doing, so with my online classes, with the anatomy side, all the different structures, I do make videos of my own that where I kind of give them a grand tour through the anatomical structures they're supposed to know for the body system, you know, try to present it in kind of a logical flow. And then I'm kind of hoping that they'll print out my PowerPoints and label diagrams and so forth to stay engaged. And then I want them to jump into the assignable APR assignment that I've made, which those are fantastic. I was really happy to see those come online during the spring, and I'm making really good use of those. And so when I have them go in there, I usually have a 3D model activity first, or not too far down the list. It just depends on what body system we're in. But like for the heart, I have the heart 3D model first. And, you know, go through here, manipulate the model, look at all these different structures. I want them to, you know, use the diagrams that they printed out before, hopefully when they watched my video clip, kind of giving them a walking tour through. And I also will use the 3D models in my little walking guided tour through the anatomy for the unit as well. But I like them to do the model first because they can rotate it. It gives them something 3D that they can manipulate off campus. You know, to me, that's the best substitute for actually being able to handle models in the lab or being able to do dissections, those types of things, since they can't really do that at home. And then move on and look at I include images of the laboratory models that you guys have put into APR, which I really like as well, and especially when they're side by side with the cadaver images. So I kind of tell them to move through things progressively, like the textbook diagrams first during our grand video tour of the structures, then move on and heavily use that 3D model, and then move on to the more difficult images with the cadaver where you don't have all the different colors and so forth, and kind of approach those things last while you're going through and doing all the structures and starting to work on learning them. So that's what I'm doing in my fully online classes.
Do you use the instructor notes field in the APR assignment? So when the for example, the heart 3D model loads, do you write specific instructions using that text area?
I have started using that, and I think that's a really good feature and one that I plan to use a lot more heavily down the road. So my next improved version of my APR assignments that I'm making, I hope to provide them with more guided kind of navigation through those activities.
And do you find that when you're assigning the 3D model, are you, let's take the heart for example, do you typically select all of the structures, or are you being very specific and deliberate using that APR assignment creation when you're assigning the 3D model about what content you include?
Yeah, that's a great question. So for right now, like with the heart, I have one assignable APR activity. And since those activities can include one 3D activity, I have all of the structures that I want them to view in that one 3D model activity. But I do realize that that winds up being a lot of structures, and then the students might get tempted to just kind of click through to finish the activity. So, you know, another thing that I am strongly considering doing down the road is trying to divide these APR activities, chop them up a little bit more so that they can focus on, you know, just a few structures at a time on the 3D model.
So, David, do you only teach online? Is your AMP course only online?
No, we teach AMP fully on campus as well, and we have some hybrid classes. We haven't been big fans of the hybrid classes, at least here at Calhoun, because we always had trouble. Students really wanted to try to get by with their on-campus time and not do the online work as much as they should. So we kind of dropped that. We brought it back with the pandemic, and I'm not sure whether we will continue that or not. But I did teach a hybrid this past spring, and you know, I did include APR there as well, because we had limited time on campus for lab. You know, during our time that we were meeting on campus, we were trying to do some review of lecture content and also have the students spend a little bit of time with the laboratory models. But before that, they needed to complete some pre-lab work, and so the assignable APR is really good for that as well, having students do some pre-lab work so that when they do get to campus for working with the laboratory models and or doing dissections, they are better prepared.
Yeah, that was where my train of thought was going in terms of using these resources, particularly the 3D models, in an online course or in a face-to-face or hybrid face-to-face course. You know, what kind of different use cases do you use?
Right. Yeah, and I'm going to have, so in the spring, I'm going to have a traditional face-to-face AMP2 class for the first time since the pandemic. And yeah, I'm planning to use APR probably in both pre- and post-lab ways, because you guys have all those great laboratory model images in there as well that go side-by-side with the cadaver images. So I can certainly envision having my students for a pre-lab looking at some things, including the 3D model, and then post-lab homework making use of the imagery that's in there to help them review and study as well. So all kinds of different uses for sure.
Yeah. Do you have the models in the face-to-face?
The images you guys have in there are look exactly like the models that we have on campus, which is wonderful.
Awesome. Yeah, we always hear stories like the brain goes missing, so it's really nice that those don't go missing when they're working.
There's a lot of variation with brain models, and I haven't really looked that closely at because I haven't taught AMP1 since I started using APR heavily, but so that yes, some of these models are, there's a lot of variation with the laboratory models, like with the brain, and then others are kind of standard, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
And for our new listeners, what David is referring to is the Practice Atlas component. Practice Atlas used to be its own standalone digital resource within Connect. And over the last year, we've incorporated that into Anatomy and Physiology Revealed. So right now, since late August, all of the body systems have a Practice Atlas component, which is the little muscle man icon. And you'll see an image of an anatomical model right next to a human specimen photograph from the APR website. And then structures are highlighted together. So students can compare the anatomical model that they're seeing in lab to a real human specimen.
Yes, and like David mentioned too, it's really beneficial because we teamed up with 3B and Denoyer-Geppert, which are some of the most common anatomical model producers, so to speak. So they are very similar to what they would see in the face-to-face. So it's helpful, kind of a 24/7 being able to have that model with them.
Yeah, I was just going to say it's really helpful too. We don't have cadavers on our campus, so it's, you know, great to have a resource where, okay, you guys have been looking at all these laboratory models with all these nice red and blue colors and so forth, but, you know, how does that relate to an actual human organ, at least from a cadaver, where you don't have all those colors and so forth to guide you? So I think it's really, really helpful and gives great visuals to the students, because when you're a new anatomy student and you're looking at a cadaver image for the first time, you know, that can be extremely confusing. I mean, it's still confusing for me at times, since I'm mm-hmm. not an anatomist originally by training. So it's a great resource for me as well as for the students in making those connections.
Oh, that's great. So I get to talk to a lot of instructors out there, but what do your students think about them? Well, how have you gotten any great feedback about the 3D models and maybe Anatomy and Physiology Revealed in general?
Yeah, I think they really like them. You know, the ones who have given me feedback, you know, they always think the cadaver is cool and being able to use the sliders and, you know, go from more superficial to deep on the kind of cadaver images. They always enjoy that. And now one thing I didn't mention earlier, and I got this idea from one of your 3D model podcasts earlier in the year, was to include a quiz at the end of an assignable APR and have that quiz actually be the bulk of the percentage of the overall score on that assignment. And so then the students really have to engage with and pay attention to the structures that they're seeing within APR. And so I started doing that over the summer. I didn't do it in the spring, but I added those quizzes in the summer. And I did notice, now this, I haven't gone back and actually tabulated data, but it certainly seemed to me that my students over the summer, their scores on anatomy image questions on my exams were probably substantially better than they were during the spring. And I think adding those quizzes in there really helped with that, because it changed my assignable APRs from them being able to just kind of click through to get the credit to, oh, I got to actually pay attention to this because I'm going to be quizzed on it, and I have to be able to identify 80% of the things correctly that I see on the quiz in order to get the credit for this assignment. So that's been really, really helpful as well.
Yeah, I sure wish I had these when I was in school. Nice.
Oh, yeah, I know. They're really
helpful. Sort of forces you to learn things, whether you want to or not.
Yeah. But I think they like APR, you know, from the ones I have heard from. They seem to be very positive about it. And I don't see how they can't like the 3D model. I mean, that's so cool. And give them something, you know, you're at home, like we were saying earlier, you're taking an online anatomy class, and, you know, it's just too difficult to learn, especially some parts of the anatomy that you just can't visualize on a 2D diagram or a picture, and you really need that 3D perspective, and so it just really makes all the difference.
So, David, at the time of our conversation today, we have 6 different 3D models that are live. Which one is your favorite and why?
Well, I certainly like all, and appreciate all of them, having all of them available. As soon as they were released, I was jumping into my assignments and updating them to include those. I guess my favorite is probably the heart, because there are so many little intricate parts and so forth that the students need to know to be able to understand heart function. And, you know, the heart has a complex 3D shape, and having that 3D model with that 3D perspective, I think just really makes learning those different parts and understanding the anterior part of the heart versus the posterior and the superior view versus an inferior view much easier for the students. I think it greatly improves things. But I think they're all highly valuable. I mean, I'm very excited about the abdominopelvic cavity model, and I think that's going to help them understand digestive system anatomy and also the blood vessels. My students, really, I'm sure this is true for students in lots of AMP2 classes, they really, really struggle with blood vessel identification. I think they look at images and diagrams and it just looks like a bunch of red and blue spaghetti on the diagram. And I think having the 3D models, especially since some of the, you know, they've kind of focused on the major ones that typically students have to know in these courses, that also gives them a great visual and will help them understand those major blood vessels and that we require them to know from both the thoracic cavity and also the abdominopelvic cavity as well. So yeah, I like those two a lot.
I'm sorry, David. That's one of the things that we talked about in the first episode of this three series of podcasts about the 3D models. Valerie and I had a conversation with Andrew Swift, who is works at Isoform and is the medical illustrator. And we talked about how we needed to balance content, but also yeah. You can only have so many pixels on the screen, right? So from a development perspective, that's something that myself and the other subject matter experts, we're always sort of balancing, right? Trying to find the relevant anatomy that we know the majority of the market wants and needs, but not going too in-depth, because then when you do that, you're sacrificing detail in other areas.
Yeah, I understand that's very challenging, because all instructors are going to have different opinions about what should be required and what shouldn't be required, even within a department. So I know that that's very challenging. But it certainly hit the right level of detail for our courses here.
Good. So going forward, we talked about the six of them live now, and we have a few more in development, including the pelvis and the full skeletal system. If you had a magic wand, what other topic would you build? Or is there another model that you would just love to have that we don't already?
Well, I'm selfish, so I would like the whole body, but I know these things have to be
a magic wand.
I think the original intention with APR was not to do so much with the skeletal muscles aside from the deeper ones, but I wouldn't mind having, you know, like you're doing the full skeleton, also having 3D rotatable models with the superficial muscles as well. And I know that a lot of those can be understood pretty well from 2D cadaver diagrams, but you know, some of them you still do need that 3D perspective, especially like with the arms and the legs. I think if nothing else, arm and leg muscle 3D models, even with the superficial ones, I think would be helpful.
Yeah, and there'd be plenty too for neurovasculature as well, kind of picking up on your point of students struggling with blood vessels.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Well, duly noted.
Yes, we will continue to work on that for you. Are there any specific navigation features that are built within the 3D models that you really appreciate or specifically like as far as the usability goes?
Well, the new one that you guys just added, that fine tool where it will zoom automatically to kind of a preset perfected view in the 3D model, I really like that. And when it first came out, before I had used it, I was a little bit skeptical because I was thinking, well, if my students know about this, then they're not even going to search for anything. They're just going to click that and go right to the view. And, you know, there's some value usually in having to kind of hunt for things. Let's compare a diagram to this 3D model and let me find it on the 3D model. But then I started using the Find tool and I realized that you guys had really spent a lot of time perfecting the optimal views and so forth, and making like parts of the heart transparent so that you could really get a great view of the conduction system through the heart, for example. That's one that's coming to mind right away. And so then I was like, oh wow, this is great. So this you know, even though it might reduce some of the hunting the students have to do, it would be very difficult for a student to recreate a lot of these views and figure out what to make kind of transparent and what to hide and so forth to see all these things. So I really appreciate that tool that's been added. So I've pointed that out to them. And then I'm still learning APR. Yeah, I've really only been using it for about a year at this point. And so it took me a while to clue in to just the tagging function. And if I turn that on, then I can mouse over structures and have those structures, the identities pop up. And I think that's great as well, because sometimes, especially when students are studying, they probably want to kind of look at the heart and quiz themselves, okay, what's that, what's that, what's that? And if you have that tagging tool turned on, then they can mouse over and have that structure highlight and then see if they were right with the identity. So I've recently pointed out to both of my students, you know, hey, if you haven't seen these or used these before, yeah, these are a couple of great tools on here, and here's how you use them. And I also pointed out that reset button for them as well. So, you know, sometimes if you're using that Find tool, it's a good idea to probably reset before you find the next structure, just to be sure you've gone back to a fully reset heart before you click that. So I think all of those things are great.
Oh, that's good insight. Thank you so much. And so Michael did share some ideas last week about implementing the models, but what advice, because you are an expert too as an instructor, what advice do you have about using the 3D models that you would share with other instructors throughout the country?
Well, I think one other thing too, the preset view where you can make a web link to a preset view within the model, I think that'll be really handy as well. And those could be embedded into PowerPoints that you're using for lecture. And so during lecture, or even if you're making a video online, you could click that link to this perfected view on the 3D model and go over things like blood flow through the heart on the 3D model instead of a 2D diagram. And I think that'll be a lot more meaningful for the student. So that's, you know, that's something that I plan to implement more as I'm going forward. And so I think from an instructor perspective, I think that there's a lot of power with the 3D model in teaching, both on the anatomy side and also on the physiology side. And you could bring up the 3D model when you're in lab and you're having the students work on the anatomical models that they're handling and manipulating. Well, you could have that 3D model up on the screen and demonstrating different things that you want them to find on there, and then ask them, okay, now find it on the model that you're holding right now. Or you're doing a dissection of a cow heart. You know, here's the 3D model of the human heart. Let's see if you can find this structure on the cow heart. So lots of power with those on both the anatomy side and the physiology side.
Those are great ideas, David. And I think one of the keys is that by incorporating really, frankly, any of the digital tools into your teaching, it inherently shows value to the student, right? You're subconsciously showing them that you value this as a teaching tool, right? So that kind of translates, I think, subconsciously to the student. Oh, well, my professor's using this for their own lectures and bringing it up in lab. This is something I better spend my time looking at as well. So
right,
I think that's really just such a great strategy, because when an instructor spends time sharing some of these different digital assets, you know, because class time is valuable, it shows students that there's value in that.
Yeah, and I'm always trying to emphasize with my students that not just anatomy, but the physiology part of the course is extremely visual. You cannot really understand physiology just reading words or making flashcards and memorizing text statements. You've got to look at the structures and what they look like and relate that to the function. So, you know, having the 3D models there, you know, just really makes that come alive a lot more than a 2D diagram. 2D diagrams, of course, are very, very helpful in many cases. But, you know, that 3D model for a lot of things really adds another element to it.
Fantastic. Well, it's always wonderful to have instructors like you join the podcast and share your insights and inspiration. Do you have any last words that you'd like to leave us with?
Well, you know, just say, I know I've expressed how much I like APR and the 3D model and the integration of all of the things. And so, I just want to express how much I appreciate the hard work that you guys have put into that, because I just think it's a great tool and really thoughtfully planned out and well executed. And you guys making it assignable has just brought it to another level. And having the animations in there and, you know, being able to get those, how it's all integrated together, 3D model and cadaver images and laboratory model images and the animation. Yeah, it's just, it's really a great tool. I feel like I could probably teach 2/3 of my class within APR if I wanted to.
Oh, that's so, that just, I know Michael and I are grinning ear to ear to hear that. And Michael is, this is his brainchild, and he used APR even before. How many years ago, Michael, did you begin using it?
Probably 2008 or 9. It was on CDs still.
On a CD. So it's come a long way. So it really, this is just, we love to hear that feedback. So thank you. Thank you for using it. And thank you for all you do in teaching your students. And thank you both for being here. This has been so much fun. And for our listeners, did you like this 3-part series? Let us know. Email me at valerie.kramer@mheducation.com. You might get a little gift in response for your feedback. So share any information or feedback you might have. And thank you for listening to Succeed in A&P. And David, have a wonderful fall semester.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And subscribe to this podcast for more A&P teaching inspiration.